Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Wednesday morning, the 11th day of January, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM right here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM up the road a bit in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere else on the planet from our website, of course, ksje.com. We also want to welcome this morning our viewers because this is a community-supported visual radio station, and we thank you for that. And we also welcome our viewers who are watching the video, which is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Facebook account. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Coming up this morning, in the next few moments, we are getting a sneak preview today of the new pediatrics unit at San Juan Regional Medical Center. The ribbon will be cut there this afternoon. Because you're watching and listening this morning, you get to hear about it first thing this morning with my guests coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on, of course, Ron Price will stop by. It is our Life in the Sandbox segment. Ron has some new perspectives on dealing with conflict today, so we hope you'll stay tuned for that and watch us and listen to us today, 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Mick Hess is going to take us roving with the arts at 9:06 next hour after the news, of course, on KSJE. Mick is featuring music this morning from Tchaikovsky and Mozart, so enjoy that, a special 90-minute version of Roving with the Arts on Wednesdays, of course, because that takes us to 10:30. And right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program. Host Delcherie Gladden is speaking this week with Joseph Badal about his latest book, Everything to Lose. And you'll hear that interview conversation coming up today at 10:30 on KSJE's Right on Four Corners. Weather forecast outside our studios here at San Juan College. It is a partly cloudy morning this morning after some overnight snow. Some slick spots on some area roadways this morning, so do be careful if you're traveling about this morning. But in the cities, it seems like roads are mostly wet or clear. 32 degrees at the moment outside our studios. We're expecting a partly sunny and windy day today. Cooler as well. 42 for a high in Farmington this afternoon. Clear tonight with a low near 25. Sunshine tomorrow with a high near 40 degrees on Thursday. 27 degrees Thursday night. It'll be partly sunny on Friday with a high near 47 and a low of 31. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 50 degrees as we get a chance of rain and snow showers overnight Saturday with a low of 39. Then take a look. 70% chance of rain and snow showers on Sunday and more chances for rain Monday and Tuesday with the next storm system moving in. Well, let me introduce my guests who are joining us this morning from the San Juan Medical Foundation. Audra Winters is here. And welcome back to KSJE. Good to have you here.
Well, good morning, Scott. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Great to have you here. Also joining us here in the studio, Dr. Brad Scoggins is here from San Juan Health Partners Pediatrics. Dr. Scoggins, good morning to you and welcome back to KSJE.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to have both of you here this morning to talk a little bit about an exciting event that's happening later on today, the results of a lot of hard work and a lot of fundraising and a lot of community involvement, and that is the opening of the new pediatrics unit at San Juan Regional Medical Center. And I say new, I really mean remodeled, which is really what we're talking about, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Scoggins, talk to me a little bit about this journey. I mean, this started, I don't know, how many months ago with this idea to renovate this space?
Yeah, gosh, you know, Scott, I kind of lose track how long it's been. I know it's been well over a year.
Right.
But it's been quite a journey, and it's been an exciting one. And I think one of the most encouraging things is how much the community seems to care, not only about San Juan Regional, but about pediatric patients in all of the four corners, as has, I think, a lot of people have learned during this time. We're the only pediatrics unit in the four corners, and so we strive to take patients from the entire area. And actually, just within the last couple of weeks, I've had patients from northern Arizona, southern Colorado, none from Utah, but lots from all over northern New Mexico.
Wow.
So we are trying our darndest to serve this population and keep them close to home.
Right, which is important.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have that here. And Audra Winters, let me turn to you with the same question, because the foundation, of course, San Juan Medical Foundation, has been very busy raising money for this project. And so how long has this been going on? Over a year, as Dr. Scoggins mentioned?
No, like, we've been raising money since 2019.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
What happened in 2019, 2020 that might have kept you occupied,
Dr.
Scoggins?
Okay.
A pandemic? I don't know. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so this was before Audra came.
Yeah.
And so Ginger Palmer was actually the one that really did the fundraising behind this. And so they started talking about it in 2019. 2020, of course, our good friend COVID came along. And so she continued to raise funds through that year, and then into 2021 also. And so, and what's nice is that we did get a few grants from outside of the community, but I would say at least 99% of the money came from our community, from local donors.
Nice.
So. Awesome.
Very cool.
And as a lot of people may or may not know, the foundation is the philanthropic arm to the hospital. So that's one of the reasons we offer other programming. But that's really what we are, you know, kind of here for, is to help raise money for these types of projects, for the remodel of the pediatric unit.
Right. And we'll get our chance to see it later on today when the ribbon is cut at 4:30 for our radio audience who can't see the graphic on the screen, but the ribbon will be cut at 4:30 this afternoon at the hospital. That's on the third floor.
That's right.
Is where it'll be happening. And we have a few pictures that we can show folks about what it looks like. But it's my recollection. I'm trying to remember. I think Ginger was here talking about when this thing first launched. And Dr. Scoggins, you were here too, that there really hadn't been much done to this unit since it was maybe built. Does that sound right to you?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
That precedes my time here by quite a while. I believe it was 1971 or 1972 when the current pediatrics unit had its last overhaul.
Okay. And so that's a little dated, I would think.
Yeah.
If you're living in a house that was decorated back then, you'd probably notice.
There's a good chance.
Yeah. So there you go. So this is well overdue. And Dr. Scoggins, you and your family had taken kind of the lead in getting the word out about this, and I think putting your money where your mouth is and making a donation and really trying to make this happen.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're part of this community. We love it here. My wife and I have been here with our boys for about 8.5 years, and you know, this was a great opportunity, like you said, to put our money where our mouth was, and this is where I work every day, and I want it to be a great place for the nurses to come to work and for patients to receive care, so I'm delighted to be part of it.
Right, and with the draw, as you were talking about, bringing in patients and children from all the other surrounding states and areas because of the specialized care that you can give to folks and children who have to come here, I mean, that's an important draw, I guess, an important thing too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and you know, we're constantly looking at ways that we can increase our offerings so we can keep kids close to home. You know, we're so geographically isolated, as people have become acquainted with, if they have any sort of medical issues, to get to the next closest children's hospital is close to 3 hours down at UNM. And they're quite taxed with what they can deliver to the entire state. So as much of that care as we can deliver here, that's where we want to be.
Right, and that's maybe easier said than done, though, right? With having a unit like this and doctors like yourself and other specialists, I suppose, to be able to offer some of this care?
Absolutely, yeah. But this does make, you know, these kind of improvements do make it easier for us to attract other clinicians. And, you know, I hope that, you know, as you're well aware, I'm sure the nursing shortage and shortage of ancillary staff at the hospital is an ever-present and growing problem. So hopefully, you know, as people sort of take the hospital back and have some pride in where they work, you know, I think projects like this and continuing improvements will help people feel that sense of ownership and pride in where they work. And I think, you know, a project like this, there's so much that goes into it. The nurses I work with up on the pediatrics floor have told me that the whole hospital is excited about it. So, delighted that it's happening.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. I would think so. And Audrey Winters, I'm trying to remember some of the conversations I had when they were talking about the plans for this new unit, and I think color was certainly part of it, of what they wanted to bring. More kid-sized furniture and some of those types of things. Were those some of the things that were on the list, I guess, as you recall?
Yes, most definitely. So it's, I mean, the lighting in the pediatric unit is just fabulous. So mm-hmm. you walk in, it's bright and it's cheery. On the walls, there's these balloons, so it just makes it, you know, a nice, comfortable feeling to it. And then even the rooms, too, have some balloons. And before, there wasn't private restrooms in the rooms. So now every room has a private restroom.
That seems such a weird thing that wasn't put in originally, but it wasn't. It's not.
Yeah.
Our thoughts about that thinking has changed, I guess, recently, right?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
And so when we were walking through last week, we're like, oh, I think they're going to need kid-friendly shower curtains. So that's one of the other things we're going to need to purchase for.
Nice.
But just little things like that,
right.
You know, you think, oh, well, you know, it needs to be something fun and something, you know, that's more comfortable, maybe where it feels like at home. The auxiliary at the hospital, they're donating the sleeper sofas. Those are on order. So it's just going to be a nice, comfortable area. And when Dr. Scoggins talks about, you know, the hospital, you know, encouraging, you know, not just the employees, but also people that are moving here. If we have great health care for our children, that's going to make a decision if people move here or not. You know, it's just like our schools. If we have a good schools, then they're going to move here. So it's a great attraction. And if you have state of the art, you know, like there's new air filter systems that are going to be put in, you know, that are put in there. You know, safety was a huge concern too.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of safety, different safety features. So, you know, we just want, I think the whole idea was to make people feel comfortable, whether you're the parent or the child.
Right.
So
makes sense. And an investment, I guess, is what you're saying too, in the community, right?
Yeah.
By having these amenities for new and existing residents who choose to live here and are living here and raising their families here, all those types of things, an investment in the community. I wanted to show some of the photos that have been provided for a little sneak peek for the ribbon cutting. I'm so excited to be able to share this with folks. So if you aren't watching on the video, you need to do that. But here's a shot of the hallway, and it looks like, and Audra, when you mentioned balloons, we have to mention it's hot air balloons, not like creepy clown balloons.
Oh, yes.
Hot air balloons is what we have. Nothing against clowns.
Which is what you see a lot
of. You know,
right.
We got hot air balloons. It's a truly New Mexico pediatrics unit. You
yes.
know where you are when you're on the floor here. And as you go through some of the things, Dr. Scoggins, can you describe a little bit of this photo for us? This is a patient's room?
Yes, absolutely. It sure looks to be the foot of a patient's bed facing a wall covered almost as if you were looking up at the sky during balloon fiesta and watching the balloons take off.
I mean, right.
Lots and lots of different colors. You know, against a bright blue or like a sky blue backdrop. You know, everybody that walks me through a little preview of the floor shows me the HDMI hookup at the bedside or at the bed ahead of the bed, so patients can hook up and play their video games while they're laying.
Well, that's
bed.
Very smart, right?
Right. Yeah, they're going to be
very
doing
important.
It. So yeah, right.
Exactly. But that's true. And there's a TV there too. Looks like it's mounted on the wall at the uh-huh. foot of the bed, so that's important as well. But
well, that's what I'm saying. They can hook their Nintendo
yeah.
up and play it on that TV.
Oh, on the monitor.
Yes,
I uh-huh. got it. Mm-hmm. Even better.
Yeah,
there you go.
Aren't there new TVs?
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, much larger.
Yeah, very true. And so compare this to the old room.
Sure. I don't want to say anything against the old room because I've been working in for 8 years and they've served the purpose well, but you definitely don't, they don't feel all that welcoming. I mean, they definitely look like they've needed some attention for a while. As Audra mentioned, there's two bathrooms. I think we have one ensuite bathroom on the entire floor of 10 beds currently. Just not that comfortable. If families were coming to visit kids, the sleeper sofas were not terribly comfortable. They were fairly small. The rooms are just tight and cramped, and there's no bathroom. And dated, and the colors are a bit dark. Much welcome changes.
Right. And for a child who's having to spend any time at the hospital, it's got to be scary, I would think, and uncomfortable, and depending on what's wrong, you don't know what's maybe going on. And so this is kind of designed to maybe help maybe calm the kid a little bit, or at least help the child feel a little more welcome to that space.
Absolutely. I guess. Yeah, I mean, thankfully, little kids are pretty resilient. Once they're feeling better, they're going to play no matter where they are.
True.
But certainly in this environment, they'll have a lot more room to move. There's a playroom that's going to be going in that's got some fun little touches to it that are pretty exciting. I think welcome
much
changes
improved.
All around.
Absolutely. Much improved. Got it. Let's take a look at some other photos here. Is this... This looks kid-sized to me.
Yeah, that looks like a sketch of part of the playroom.
Okay, all right.
And it's not just any playroom.
Not just any playroom.
No. It's the Scoggins family playroom.
Of course it is.
That's right. Yes. Sorry. No, that's good. Thank you.
I don't want to embarrass you, but I mean, no, not at all. Dr. Scoggins family is the one
nice.
That...
This is it wouldn't have happened without your input and support. So there you are.
Thank you. Yes.
Nice. Very good. That's part of it. Another shot of the patient room with the balloons, of course, and really bright colors in that room, and some other pictures here. So there's a definite theme going on. You mentioned a little bit about the security, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. Is that kind of, again, to decide or to be able to control maybe who's allowed on that floor and who's able to go visit and things along that line? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that's unfortunately true. Yeah, those are things we have to think about when we talk about pediatric or our neonatal patients, is the units have to be able to lock. As you can imagine, occasionally estranged parents get in squabbles, and sometimes we have to be able to take safety measures. So, that is an ability.
But that's built in now with this new unit, and so I imagine it's a lot more effective than it was before.
I would say,
yeah. So that's important. That's good to know. Nurse's station. Here's another photo we have here too, of course. And so, how big is this unit, Dr. Scoggins? So you have how many rooms now for your patients?
14 beds, and I think I forget what number of them have up to double occupancy. So we can house, I want to say, in the neighborhood of 18 patients. In our current situation, we have 10 rooms. I want to say three of those are double occupancy. So this does represent an increase in space for us, also.
Got you. And Audra Winters, you mentioned the sleeper sofas a little bit, and of course they're there. So if a parent wants to stay or needs to stay, they have a more comfortable place to do that, I guess.
Exactly.
In the room with the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know the kids, but I think it's mostly the parents that want to stay with the kids.
Right.
Yeah, and make sure that they're okay. And so, and that was one of the complaints that we had heard, is that, yes, you're going to sleep anywhere, but it's nicer to have a sleeper sofa. So those are on order, and those are coming.
Right. So. A newer one that maybe has some more comfortable sleeping and bedding with it. Mm-hmm. So there's all that.
I might be taking naps up there.
We might look for you over there. I don't know. We'll have to see.
If we can't find you, we'll know.
Nice, too, is they're going to have this, table that pops up, too. So you can sit there and maybe play games with your kids, or if you have to work on your computer or something, then you're going to be able to do that.
Got it. Very good. Well, Dr. Scoggins mentions the cable that you can hook up your video game system to, Audra, so when you're taking your nap, you can maybe
play some video games.
Do a little of your favorite game over there. Sure, whatever that might be. Dr. Scoggins, when it comes to a sick kid, I mean, in healing and recovery, I think, and for any patient, I think surroundings really can help with that recovery process. Is that true with children as well?
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah, just the space to get up and play, a clean, bright environment. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we encourage patients to get up and move about as soon as they're feeling like they can. The longer you lay in bed, the worse off you do. So an environment that encourages you up and out is awesome. One of my favorite, and I'm going to botch this a little bit, but one of my favorite historical children's hospital examples is called the Floating Hospital for Children. I believe it's Tufts Medical Center. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, it literally used to be a ship floating in a harbor. And there's pictures of kids with rickets laying out on cots in the sunlight, getting their vitamin D. There's bilirubin babies in cribs out on the deck, sunning and getting their bilirubin treated. And then, of course, all kids were encouraged to get up and walk around the deck. So just a fun historical example.
Right, yeah. Right. Very true. Well, and if we're not exactly right, the fact checkers will correct us if we're wrong.
And I'm not going to be offended at all.
That's okay. That's all right. But but just goes to show. And you mentioned kids are resilient, and they really are. We've seen that, I think, time and time again. But still, if you're sick, you're sick. And you want to feel better, and mom and dad want to make sure they're feeling better too.
Right, absolutely.
And getting the care that they need. Audra Winters, you mentioned, of course, that the Medical Foundation is the philanthropic arm of the hospital, and so folks can still help to donate for a shower curtain or something if they'd
exactly,
like to. Is that something that you'd be able to help with?
I'm sure when you move into your new home, once you get in there, they're going to need some things too.
They'll find some things.
So you can still donate to the foundation, and we'll make sure it's earmarked for the pediatric unit if you just make sure that. But yeah, there'll be things that pop up, and I'm sure Dr. Scoggins always is on top of stuff, and so he might see something like, hey, this is going to help with the healing process, or there's a new piece of equipment. So yeah, there's always going to be that need for helping out the pediatric unit.
Right. And with this, Dr. Scoggins, has there been some other medical equipment that's been purchased as well, or has this been basically the patient rooms that have been the focus of this project?
Yeah, this project has primarily been the patient rooms and accoutrement that go with that. I don't think there's been any other big equipment purchases out of this yet, but yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have a wish list?
Oh yeah.
Always?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
That's true. Very, very good. Well, it's exciting that this is where we are for the ribbon cutting later on today. I want to remind folks of this event that's happening. And January 11th, which is later on today, 4:30 p.m. on the third floor at San Juan Regional Medical Center, open to the public. There's still a mask requirement at the hospital, so if you do plan to go, don't be surprised if you're asked to put a mask on to go into the building and to go to this event.
Correct.
And hope to see the first patients up there once everything gets finalized and ready to go, I guess, right?
As soon as they give us the green light.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, exciting, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. What a transformation, I think, for folks who maybe haven't been there, as you have been every day for the last few years to see the difference, though. I think it's a real big positive change.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
For the community. So that's wonderful. Well, thank you very much for coming in to share that. Before I let you go, though, Dr. Scoggins, I want to ask you a bit about children's health these days. We hear a lot about what's going on. Of course, we've got COVID-19. We've got this tridemic. I keep hearing that term a little bit.
Yeah,
with flu,
triple-demic,
whatever it is, and RSV. And so how are we doing here? What are you seeing in your rounds?
I'm going to cautiously couch this. We saw, yes, the triple-demic, I think you could reasonably call it that. I mean, we had for a few months back just before the Thanksgiving week.
Okay.
We had an overflowing unit. So we'd have patients backing up into the ER most days, just with no beds. And then, unfortunately, that was true of all of our tertiary referral centers. So we'd call for a bed in a PICU, and there just were none to be found.
This was pediatrics or all patients?
This was pediatrics.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah, and in fact, UNM, I'm aware, had a disaster management team come in to help them with their extra burden. I read just a headline a few minutes ago before coming here that team has since been stood down.
Okay.
So I think it sounds like they're seeing a bit of what we're seeing, and that's a bit of a slump. I don't know if that represents, kids around here acquiring their immunity they didn't have over the last couple of years in those last few months, and now maybe we'll see maybe a little bit more manageable winter, or if it represents sort of the calm before the next wave. I'm not sure.
Mm. And was this with all three of these these viruses, or was it just one over the others?
Sure. I would say it was probably in the neighborhood at 75% RSV. The other 25% was some combination of flu. What's the other one? A little bit of COVID, bit of COVID. And then just, I always remind people there's 100 or 200 viruses that cause very similar symptoms. So a lot of those we don't even test for.
If you're sick, you're sick.
But they cause similar disease.
Right.
And in similar kind, there's no specific treatment for those. It's largely supportive care.
Got you. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that it looks like things are calming down a little bit. I don't want to jinx it or anything Thank you. Like that. Yes, but yeah, yes. I didn't want to do that. But I mean, but we're seeing this across the country, aren't we, and across the world, aren't we not?
Right. Yeah. That's my understanding from reports we're seeing everywhere. You know, the headlines have been a little bit less frenetic lately, so it makes me think that maybe things are on a, you know, maybe a bit of a lull. But like I said, we're cautiously optimistic that maybe this doesn't necessarily represent the calm before the storm. But history tells us most years, mid-January through mid-March is kind of our busiest respiratory season.
Right. And of course, it seems like our flu season has been somewhat mild last few years, mm-hmm. maybe just because we weren't getting out and about as much or interacting with each other or masked in these situations. And so hard to maybe see what the future holds for that.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, too. You know, influenza, where we come up with the influenza vaccine, of course, is from the other side of the world. I think you've heard this a handful of times. We look at strains that are predominant over there and then guess on our vaccine what's going to be here. So I think when you shut down international travel, you're going to have a big impact on influenza even making its way over here, and at least with novel strains that are going to give people problems. This flu season has been definitely more rough than the last couple of years, but is, you know, I'd say it's still relatively moderate compared to what we saw pre-pandemic.
Gotcha. And of course, with kids and pediatrics, we always hear about whooping cough and some of these other things that hit kids. I think maybe just kids being kids, and it's just one of those things that happens when you're growing up, I think, sometimes, right?
That's fair, yeah. And I haven't heard any pertussis outbreaks this year so far, but we usually have at least one every couple of years. So that's another reason to get out there. And, you know, a lot of people forwent their vaccines during the pandemic years. So we're a little bit worried about on the heels of this pandemic will be one of a vaccine preventable illness pandemic. You know, we're seeing little breakouts of measles throughout the country right now. There's a little bit of polio scare going on in some places. So, you know, I definitely encourage people to get back to your primary doctor and get those vaccines. We vaccinate babies against pertussis at ages 2, 4, 6, and 12 months, then again at 4 years, and then again they get another dose at 11 years old, because that particular vaccine does wane in efficacy.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you mentioned polio, and that was something I think everyone had thought that we'd gotten kind of rid of and eradicated over time, but this just shows you that if you're not vigilant, how it can kind of creep back in some communities, I suppose.
Very true. Yeah, yeah. I think, much to our credit, we've been lulled into a false sense of security that these things are not out there and they don't affect us. That's far from true. So, you know, I tell people to have a healthy respect for it. Don't be scared of getting sick, but take reasonable precautions.
Right. Yeah. And I seem to recall a lot of stories about, you know, just how groundbreaking the polio vaccine was, because folks were just so petrified of their children getting that, and it would really change their lives if they came down with polio.
Well, and rightly so to be terrified of it. I mean, if you took a walk through an iron lung ward, I mean, you would be terrified too, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the reminder that these things are there is, I hate that it had to happen that way, but I think it is. There are parts of the world where these diseases are not eradicated. And so, yeah, it's, you know, if we let our guard down, as you said, there's a possibility of having more trouble.
Right. And so I want to put a plug out for vaccinations. We always tell people, if you have a question about a vaccine or whether it's good for you or your child, to talk to your primary care physician, your pediatrician, ask those questions. They know the health history of your child or mm-hmm. of your family, and that's still good advice, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and we're absolutely, you know, we're happy to have the discussion. In fact, I always tell parents, every one of our children, there are 12 providers at San Juan Pediatrics right now, every one of our children has had all their vaccines on time. And, you know, in the case of my kids, they're mostly still normal except they're mine.
Well, I guess there's that.
But yeah, that's okay. Bad jokes and all.
Oh, yeah. There you go, but that's all right. Well, good advice, even with that, Dr. Scoggins, and I appreciate you coming in to visit with us about that. Again, we're so excited for this event to be happening. A long time in coming. Thank you, Audra Winters, for reminding us just how long it's been that you've been working in the foundation.
I was a little bit right with just with over a year.
Yeah, you were. Well, like I said,
3 years is over a year.
That's true. I think you were a little preoccupied during a couple of those years with something called a global pandemic. So I don't blame you at all.
Okay, well, thank you.
I think you get a pass on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. But very excited. A long time coming, and again, we're very excited. Again, another benefit to our community. As we mentioned, it's another attraction to maybe for recruitment for you and folks moving into our town and our community and contributing. So I think it's a great addition. So thank you very much for the work that you've both have done to make this happen today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And thank you to Sanwa Medical Foundation and to Ginger and to you for picking up the baton. And I mean, gosh, all the people that contributed financially and otherwise, I was just overwhelmed with the outpouring of support, because most of this fundraising was actually done during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we were going out to people's offices during the pandemic and, you know, wearing our masks and not sure whether we should shake hands or not. And in spite of all that, yeah, the community really came through for us.
That's great. Yeah. We hear that time and time again.
Yeah, and they're well recognized on signage throughout the unit. So that's a wonderful reminder.
Right. Very good. Well, I'm sure we wouldn't be surprised by some of those companies that we'll see on those signs because they step up whenever they're asked, it seems. So that's always a
good
thing. So wonderful. Well, congratulations again. Looking forward to it. You'll be there with the scissors, the big giant scissors, I hope.
The big giant scissors are coming.
Okay.
Awesome.
So, good.
Yeah. Good.
I don't know if we've talked about who's cutting it, but I was thinking you and Bonnie need to
there you absolutely. Go.
Okay. Maybe the Marion family.
Probably the Marion family, yes.
Nice.
Yep.
There you go. See, it's all coming together. All right.
We're planning it now.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens at 4:30 this afternoon, so that's great. Audra Winters, thank you, and the foundation, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The website, if folks would still like to make a donation?
Yes, sanwanmedicalfoundation.com. Just nice and long.
There you go.
So, and I got to give a shout-out to Dr. Scoggins, too. I still, you know, have really great thoughts about my pediatrician. And if I was a kid, I would want to, or if I had kids, I would take them to Dr. Scoggins, too, or to any of the pediatric docs.
Just for the dad jokes alone, I would think that would be
go. Even as an adult, I still want to go to my pediatric doctor.
I see what you're saying. I got you.
Well, appreciate that point. Thank you. Yes.
There you are. Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in. Again, congratulations. It's the ribbon cutting of the new pediatrics unit at Sanwa Regional Medical Center this afternoon at 4:30. With me here this morning talking about it on KSJE. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Civic Center, presenting Our Planet live in concert on Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. Combining HD cinematography with all-new orchestrations by Oscar-winning composer Stephen Price, performed by a live onstage orchestra. A journey of discovery featuring narration by legendary broadcaster David Attenborough. Find out more at fmtn.org/shows. Our Planet, live in concert, Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.